Time to talk to Freddie P from CanadianThinker.com. Freddie, we were just talking about 30 years, and well, it would have been 30 years ago on Monday that Terry Fox first stepped his foot into the ocean and started his run.
Yeah.
Still seems like it could have been about a decade ago. And, you know, interesting, too, being here on the border, you know, he's one of those guys that it's a shame that outside of our country, barely anybody, well, certainly in the United States anyhow, has never heard of him. Perhaps in Europe and England, they've heard of him, but in America, the name doesn't mean anything.
Can you imagine if Terry Fox was American and did what he did in the U.S.? I mean, the mega star that he would be down there. I mean, you know, Kirk Gibson, you know, limping around the bases in game one of the 19-whatever World Series. I mean, they make a big deal out of that. This guy limped, literally pulled himself across the country. You know, battling cancer, just crazy.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Under his name has raised $500 million for cancer research.
Yeah, and all he wanted to do was make a million when he got started. And that's an interesting point about had he been an American. And, you know, he'd probably his face would have been on the dollar bill by now.
No, it would have been over the top crazy because you know the way they like to create heroes.
Oh, yeah.
And conversely, here we tend to shy away from that. So it just goes to show you what a hero that Terry Fox was, because in this country, we're afraid of, I don't know, what would you say? We're afraid of stardom. We're afraid of standing out, so to speak.
Yeah, we don't like to look like we're bragging.
Yeah, he does. Like, you know, so what does that say about Terry Fox?
Yeah. So let's move on to other topics at CanadianThinker.com. First of all, missed opportunity is the title of your topic on Tiger Woods. And you walked away from the Masters with the feeling like Tiger is basically a baby.
Oh, yeah. If you see, what was it, the 14th or the 13th hole there where he missed that birdie putt and then he gets mad and he, you know, swacks it past the hole and ends up with a bogey. And it just was ridiculous. I mean, given all that he's been through and, you know, on the Monday, he held a news conference and said not only is he going to change his life off the course, he's going to change his demeanor on the course because he didn't think his image was the best on the course, the way he sort of loses his temper and from time to time can be overheard cursing. And, well, he didn't do that. I mean, as that tournament unfolded and as the days went on, he sort of resorted back to that. And that 13th hole, I think it was the 13th, but it doesn't matter. You know what I'm talking about. And then he eagles the next hole. So, I mean, if he had to have that little hissy fit on the course at that point, he might have still been in it in some level. But, yeah, and then his post-match or his post-round interview, post-tournament interview, he seemed to have a bit of a weird attitude. So he really didn't help himself after all he's been through.
I have a hard time with the argument of Tiger Woods should control himself on the golf course and that he's being a baby and that he's having these hissy fits on the course, because when you compare his attitude in golf to that of a hockey player or a basketball player or a baseball player, when they have little hissy fits on the bench or when they slap their sticks around or they're heard screaming curses on the bench, it just happens because it's hockey. But if he gets upset on a golf course because it's supposed to be a gentleman's sport, he looks like a baby. And I don't buy that argument at all.
Okay, well, Matt, you just said it, though. Golf has a different protocol. You know, golf's also the sport that if a guy gets ready to hit a shot and somebody clicks a camera, they get annoyed. Well, if that's the type of sport that you want to be involved in, yeah, you're going to live to a different standard when it comes to reaction to bad shots and what have you. I mean, that's just the way it is. And remember, it was Tiger Woods that said this on Monday, not somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't requested to change his demeanor. He said he would. He himself admitted it was a bit of a problem, and then he didn't do it. So Tiger set his own standard through this. And again, this is a sport where you're supposed to be quiet, nobody's supposed to say anything, and you're not supposed to cheer. Okay, well, cool. That's fine. If that's what the sport's all about, don't throw a hockey hissy fit then, because if you do, then let the crowd react like a hockey crowd. Cheer and go crazy and catcall and you know, horse around, you know, screw with a guy's psyche like they do in other sports. So, you know what I'm saying? You can't have it both ways, my boy.
Yeah, but in the matter of competition and, you know, the adrenaline's pumping and the pressure that's on not only Tiger but any other golfer, if you have a 4-foot putt and you miss it right, of course you're going to be mad. And I don't think, and it's not just specifically with Tiger, but anybody. I don't have a problem with them, you know, swearing or slapping their golf club around if they miss a four-foot putt to the right by an inch or two, because that's what anybody would do when they're on the golf course. If you and I missed a four-foot putt, we'd be mad. And Tiger's got so much more at stake than we do.
Yes. Well, yeah, he does and he doesn't. I mean, you know, it all depends on what you think's important in life, because he, you know, he has all the money he'll ever need for the rest of his life and about 16 other lives. So the point is, how much pressure does he have on him? And again, he created all this, Matt. He was the guy that screwed around on his wife and got involved in this scandal and is trying to rehabilitate his image. And he's the guy that held the news conference saying he was going to change, and then he didn't. So I understand all you're saying. Of course, if Phil Mickelson had got upset by missing that putt, fine. But Phil didn't have all the baggage attached to him that Tiger did. So Tiger had sort of a responsibility to himself to act differently, and to my mind, he didn't. Hey, just an opinion, Matthew.
No, mine as well, Freddie.
Let's move on to another topic on CanadianThinker.com, and that of Gorgeous Georges, as Matt has referred to her. Helena Georges, that story that you've been talking about on your website. First, her husband, who seems to be the guy that's leading her down the path of destruction here.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting story, and I think I just heard on the news there's more revelations now, apparently through CTV.ca or something, that it's intriguing. I can't even begin to explain the story, but there's all, you know, drugs are involved and bribes and all this stuff through Jaffer, which funnels through her, and now the Prime Minister's got this on his lap. And, you know, I smelled a rat a few weeks ago. I mean, cocaine possession and drunk driving turns into a careless driving charge, and that's a little slap on the wrist, and he walks away. The optics of that were just horrible. Because the average Joe, you know, often feels that politicians or the privileged in our society get a different, they get different treatment in our courts. And then you see that happen with no real explanation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm a backer of our prime minister. I really am. I support the guy. But through this, I don't, because we needed more. We need an explanation. Why? Why did this happen? Why did he get off? It stinks of backroom dealing, and that's just not fair to the average citizen. And then her temper tantrums out at the airport and various other things. And then, you know, the cocaine possession was thrown out, but you're just thinking of cocaine is swirling within the relationship. Has this got something to do with it? We don't know. That's not an allegation. I'm not making the connection, but you can't help but think those things when you're given the facts.
Matt actually had some dealings with Helena when you were working up in Owen Sound, and from your account, a very nice lady who was easy to deal with, and of course very easy on the eyes.
She was very pleasant. In 2004, I was at her campaign headquarters until about 1:30 in the morning, because it was the closest vote in all of Canada, and they had to do a recount of the votes, and she won by 100. But from my understanding, throughout the years after that, everybody was a fan of her. She really didn't bring much to the table, so to speak, but she climbed the rankings pretty good in the Conservative government. And the one funny thing that we had noticed after she was elected, because she was new to the party and new to the House of Commons and such, she was sitting near the back when all the MPs were lined up together. And within a couple of weeks, she was just over Stephen Harper's right shoulder, so that every time he stood up and spoke, she was on the camera.
A little eye candy for the people that watch the parliamentary channel.
Yeah. Maybe, spicing it up a little bit.
Matt's
I want
mind.
To know what you were doing at her headquarters till 1:30 in the morning. That's what I want to know.
It's kind of like a forum story broke out, Freddie.
That's right.
Now, how's everything else? Life good?
Yeah, no complaint.
Getting ready for the big colonoscopy?
Getting ready for the colonoscopy on Friday. Thursday at 2 o'clock, I have to take my first, laxative shake or whatever it is.
Uh-huh.
And then I have to go through that. And then at 9 p.m., I have to have another one. And then I had my appointment switched to the morning. So at 8:30 in the morning, I will be probed in Brampton.
Beautiful, Freddie. Well, we'll look for the highlights at CanadianThinker.com, and we'll talk to you next Wednesday morning.
Okay. Wish me no polyp.
You're polyp-free, Freddie. I guarantee it.
loving you.